It's a powerful thing just to be here tonight and to share with you on prayer, something that we learn a lot. I know you do here. I know we learned a lot here in CGI with Dr. Cho. And I don't think there's anything more than prayer. And I want to share with you just briefly from the book of Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. If you can find that, please. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. I want to read just one verse. And in this verse, there's about 7 points that we want to look at. Seven, I want to call them PowerPoints concerning prayer. I'm going to share briefly, and I think Pastor Stephen will come later on as we're going to go into a time of prayer. The goal of this lesson is for us to add on what you've been doing all along. We know that you're a praying church. There is no way Calvary could ever see the miracles that God is doing in your lives if it was not for prayer. There's no way the work of God could advance like it's advancing among you if it was not for prayer. You know, I learned prayer way back in 1979. I became a Christian in 1978. Got filled with the Holy Spirit in July, 4th of July, 1979. At that time, I was a student at school, and I had friends who were attending different churches. Now, I came from what we call a mainline church. Our church was a good church, but they didn't talk about Christ as Savior, nor did they talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, they taught everything except that we couldn't practice what was taught. But at school, I met some of my friends, and one of them was from a church like yours, Assemblies of God. And one of them was from another church called Apostolic Faith Mission. And one of them was from some church. I don't remember which church it was. And these friends of mine, every time we met during lunchtime, they would share about their experiences in prayer. They would talk about God in a way I'd never heard before. You know, I'd been a Christian for 1 year, and at the time I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit, but all of us as young people at school, we were desiring to see a move of God in our school. You know, we wanted to see a revival in our school. And so we decided that during lunchtime, we were going to meet together to pray. Even if it's just for 30 minutes or 45 minutes, we were going to pray because our lunchtime was about an hour. And so I remember first day we prayed, it was very difficult for me and very challenging because I had never been in the same prayer room with people who are spirit-filled. All right, I'd never heard people speak in tongues. I didn't know what the anointing was. I didn't know what the power of God was. And so here we are in prayer, praying together. Now, the only prayer I knew was the Lord's Prayer, all right? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as forgive those that trespass against us and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and forever. And everyone said, amen. That's the prayer that I knew. So it's a very powerful prayer, but that's the only way I knew how to pray. So here we are praying, and I prayed the Lord's Prayer, which is a very powerful prayer. And I finished the prayer, and they kept on praying. And fortunately, in South Africa, we are multilingual. We have 12 languages, and fortunately, my wife and I can speak almost all 12. Maybe not perfectly, but most of them. So I prayed the prayer in English, and when I finished praying in English, I prayed in another language called Sotho, same prayer. And then when I stopped praying, they were still praying. And I did it in another language called Zulu. And I kept on trying, and they were still praying. And you know, Pastor Patrina, the more they prayed is the more they prayed. Have you seen spirit-filled people? When people pray in other tongues, it looks like the more they pray, the more they want to pray. And the more they prayed, the stronger they prayed. And the more they prayed, I realized that something was happening. I was beginning to feel something in the atmosphere that I'd never felt before. Afterwards, they told me it was the anointing. I didn't even know what the anointing was. I didn't know what the presence of God was. And then one of them prayed so hard, power of God fell on him and he fell on the floor. Oh, I was so scared, Pastor Peter. I thought God had killed him. I mean, this brother here, I knew him. He lived right. And when I compared the way he lived and the way I lived, I didn't live as good a life as he lived. And I thought, if God's going to kill him, guess who's next? I was so scared. I was so afraid that God was going to get me next. And then, but what surprised me was the other people who were there, they didn't care that this brother here had died. That's what I thought. They just kept on praying, praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, moving and praying, and I couldn't pray. I couldn't concentrate now because I kept looking at him. I didn't want to close my eyes in case God kills me, you know. And then after a while, 30 minutes later, he started moving. I was so relieved. And then he got off the floor, and they didn't even help him up. And then he got up, and I just couldn't understand what was going on because nobody explained to me. But thankfully, 3 weeks later, they prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember it was on the 4th of July, 1979, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I started then with the discipline of prayer. I had never prayed then more than an hour by myself. I didn't know how to pray like that. But I remember on the 5th of July, 1979, I got up early in the morning to pray. And as I prayed, I started praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues. And I kind of got lost in it, so engrossed in prayer. So engrossed in the anointing. I didn't understand everything. And when I stopped praying, I'd been praying for an hour, and I didn't even realize it had been an hour. And from that time, it launched me into a life of prayer that was different, powerful, anointed. And then I realized something. Prayer changes things. Prayer transforms things. And we started praying as students for a move of God in our school. And by September of that year, young people in our school started getting saved in large numbers. Meetings where we would preach in our school would get filled with young people. Not only that, I used to attend a youth movement, a Christian youth movement. And the young people in this Christian youth movement, not only did they get saved, but I started praying for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then I started a prayer meeting with these young people, and we started, there were three of us when we started. 3 months later, 4 months later, there was about 40 young people, 50 young people, and it kept on growing and growing. And I started praying for our church and praying for Soweto, and I realized something, and I know you all know it's true. Prayer changes things. Prayer transforms things. And when we read in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, there are 7 things about prayer that I want to share very quickly with you. Let's read this verse. It says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow grounds. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Now, those of you who are Bible scholars, you do know that the writings of Hosea, the prophet Hosea, Joel, Haggai, and all these prophets, they are said to be prophets that talked about restoration or revival. They wrote at a time when the children of Israel had moved away from God. But as God sent them to speak to the children of Israel, he brought a message of hope, saying to his people, you've moved away, you've walked away from me, but as your God, I'm going to bring a renewal. I'm going to bring a revival. I'm going to bring a new day. I'm going to turn things around because God is a God who turns things around. God is a God who brings renewal and he brings revival. And so in this verse, God is saying to them, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow grounds. It's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rain righteousness on you. 7 things we want to talk about. Number 1, sowing to ourselves in righteousness. Secondly, breaking up fallow grounds. Number three, it says, for it is time. If you're writing down, you can write that. It is time. Number four, to seek the Lord. Five, until. Seven, he comes. Six, he comes. And seven, and rains righteousness on us. Now, let's talk about that for a while. First of all, the Bible says to sow to ourselves in righteousness. I think the last time I was here, in this church here, I was talking about the power of seeds, the faithfulness of seeds. I think I remember that. That was in October sometime. There's one thing about God, that God has established a principle of sowing and reaping. And the principle of sowing and reaping works everywhere in the world. It works for anybody. It works at any time. Because it is a principle. A principle means what is there was there before we came. It's a principle. A principle means whatever was there long before the world was. Because it's a principle, it means it will work for anybody. It works in the positive, it works in the negative. It's a principle. A principle is like a law. We talk about natural laws. I think last time I was here, I talked about the law of gravity, if those of you who may remember. The law of gravity works for everybody, you know. You know, the law of gravity simply means whatever goes up will come down. As long as you're on this planet, there's a force that keeps us on the ground. If you take something and throw it up, it comes down. If I take a bottle of water and throw it up here in Malaysia, it will come down. If I go to Johannesburg and take a bottle of water and throw it up, it will come down. It doesn't say it's Johannesburg, it will still come down. If a child takes a bottle of water, throws it up, the bottle comes down. If an adult takes a bottle of water, throws it up, it comes down. Why? Because it's a principle. And the principle of sowing and reaping is a principle that has been set by God. And God says, sow to yourself in righteousness. There are things that when we do, we are sowing righteousness. We are sowing goodness. And prayer is one of them. When we pray, we're not wasting time. When we pray, even if we may not see results right now, but just like the principle of sowing and reaping, we will reap if we do not faint. When we pray, we are putting good seeds into our spiritual ground. When we pray, it doesn't matter we're in Malaysia, it doesn't matter we're in Johannesburg, it doesn't matter if we're in America, when we pray, it is going to work. When we pray, God hears our prayers. When we pray, it's going to change things. Why? Because prayer is a principle of sowing. And the Bible says, sow to yourself in righteousness. Many people, you know, oftentimes kind of have the idea that things in God's kingdom will just work on their own. You know, there's a statement that people make and they say, you know, God will make a way and God will do that. You know, and that's true. God does make a way. But I want to present to you, when you read in the Bible, most of the miracles that Jesus did, he did those miracles because somebody took an initiative. Read the Bible, you'll find 80% of all the healings that took place in the Bible is because somebody took a step. Remember the woman with the issue of blood. She went to Jesus. Jesus wasn't coming to her. You remember blind Bartimaeus. He cried out and called out for Jesus. Jesus wasn't coming to her. You remember Jairus' daughter. Jairus is the one who went to Jesus. Jesus wasn't coming to him. And so the same principle applies in prayer. When we pray, then God moves. Even if God is a sovereign God, even if God can do anything and anytime, anyhow, anywhere, whether we like it or we don't like it, God's a sovereign God. But when it comes to God doing sovereign things sovereignly, it is only limited to a very small amount of time. Most of the time, God moves because people do something. Read the Bible. You'll find when people prayed, God answered. When people prayed, God moved. When people prayed, the Spirit of God moved. Read the books of Haggai. Read the book of Hosea, Joel. God says it will come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. But before that, he said, blow the trumpet, call the solemn assembly. Let the priests weep between the altar. Let the bridegroom come from his chamber. Let them come and seek the Lord and so on. And the Bible is always showing us that God moves dependent on you and I taking a step. You want to see the power of God move in the church? Pray. You want to see the power of God move in your nation? Pray. You want to see the power of God move in the city? Pray. And that's what we saw when we started praying as young people in our school. We prayed, I remember, from March that year, you know, April, May, June. It was only around September where we started seeing young people getting saved in large numbers. When we started seeing the power of God move among us. Why did the power of God move? Because we sowed to ourselves in righteousness. Sow to yourself in righteousness in your life, in the church. Sow to yourself in righteousness in your company, wherever you are. Get on your knees and pray, because God moves when we move. God always is waiting for us. Often people say we're waiting on God. And I know what we mean when we say we're waiting on God. But you know, most of the times God is waiting on us. God moves when we move. God takes a step when we take a step. And so we need to sow to ourselves in righteousness. Secondly, the Bible says we need to break up fallow grounds. Note this. Prayer begins with a heart and a mind that have been softened by the word of God. Breaking up refers to breaking up the soil of our hearts through personal commitment to God, confession of sin, and repentance. Very important. True revival is characterized by us coming to God with contrite hearts. Now, the Bible says we need to break up fallow grounds. Now, the expression fallow grounds is a term used by farmers, nomadic people. Fallow ground, according to farmers, is land that has not been plowed before. All right? Or land that was once plowed but was left unused and it hardened, and therefore it is not good to be plowed. And so the Bible says for us to break up fallow grounds. Farmland that has been allowed to lie idle sometimes during growing seasons, and therefore it's allowed to be idle so that the fertility of the soil can be restored. Now, soil speaks of our hearts. Watch this, very important. The condition of our hearts determines our growth, our fruitfulness, and our destinies in God. It's very important for us as we come into a time of prayer to prepare our hearts in the presence of the Lord. Never allow anything into our spirits that will cause our hearts to be fallow ground. What am I talking about? If there's any unforgiveness, any bitterness in our hearts, if there's any unresolved issues in our hearts, these things can really prevent our prayers from working. If there's anything in our spirits that can cause our hearts to be fallow grounds, God says, you break up the fallow grounds. In other words, when I come into a time of prayer, we all know that there are certain things in our lives that can prevent the power of prayer from going to work. Peter talks about it. He says for us who are husbands to dwell with understanding with our wives so that our prayers be not hindered. When Jesus talked about prayer, he talks about prayer and he spells out the principles of prayer. Then he says, and when you pray, if you have aught against any, forgive. It's amazing that he links the forgiveness and all of those things to prayer. You know, the Bible in Matthew chapter 5 says, if you bring your gift to the altar, and as you bring your gift to the altar and you there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar, go to your brother, first be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift to the altar. So, as we come into a time of prayer, let's ensure that our hearts, the soil of our hearts, the ground of our hearts is not fallow grounds. So that whatever it is in our lives that has not been dealt with, whatever it is that has not been submitted to God, whatever it is that has not been confessed and dealt with, doesn't hinder the power of our prayers. So, he says, sow to yourself in righteousness, break up your fallow grounds. And I like this one. Number three, it says, for it is time to seek the Lord. Can I hear everybody say, it is time? Tell your neighbor, it is time. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, it is time. Very interesting. This word time in Hebrew, it is the word ETH. And this word ETH actually means the proper time. What's this? It also means a season. Okay? Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow grounds. It is time to seek the Lord. In other words, it is the season to seek the Lord. It is the proper time to seek the Lord. This word, very interestingly, is used often by many nations of the world when they're about to launch a rocket into space, or when they're about to launch all these discovery, out into outer space. You know, when they have this rocket on a launching pad, as you know, they use a lot of technology and a lot of computers, and they start counting down the time to launch this rocket, all right? And the clock goes 1 hour, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, and until there's 10 seconds to go, and it goes 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. When it gets to 1, that's what they call the proper time. The proper time. In other words, this is the time just on the verge before launching. Which means this in practical terms. You and I, when we come to this time of prayer, it's time for you and I to pray. As we pray and as we seek the Lord's face, it brings us into a season where God is about to launch miraculous things in our lives. In other words, it is through your praying and my praying that the proper time and the proper season for God to go to work. In other words, as we pray, it becomes a moment of opportunity. Prayer brings out into a moment of impact. Prayer brings out into a moment where we see the power of God going into action. In other words, prayer brings the power of God into a collision with our lives. It brings us into arena where God works on our behalf, where we see the faithfulness of God goes into action. God has always wanted his people to experience his power, but it is prayer that releases the power of God and moves it into action. So it is time for us to seek the Lord. It's time for you and us to pray. And as we pray, it brings us into that season where the rocket of the power of the Spirit is about to be launched and for us to see God do something great in our nation. Can I hear an amen to that? It says it is time to seek the Lord. Number four, it's time for us to seek the Lord. The word seek the Lord speaks of the focus of prayer. The word seek speaks of earnestness. In other words, we are earnest in our prayer. We are serious in our prayer. We are sincere in our prayer. Our prayer is birthed from a deep hunger and a deep drive to see God move among us. We're praying because we want to see things change. We are seeking the Lord. We are seeking the Lord because the Holy Spirit is prompting us. The Holy Spirit is inspiring us. We are seeking the Lord because we understand it is a prayer that is birthed out of a deep desire to see God move in our lives. So we are sowing to ourselves in righteousness, reaping in mercy. We are breaking our fallow grounds because we know it is time for us to seek the Lord. In other words, we are here tonight out of earnestness, out of intensity. You know, when we pray, it's not a time to just play around. It's a time for us to get intense and to get very serious. It's time for us to really do business with God. It's time for us to really show God that we are really hungering. We are really wishing. Jesus talks about how those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. It's amazing. When the Bible talks about this kind of seeking the Lord, God says to his people, he says, rend your hearts and not your garments. Tear your hearts, not your garments. Seek me with all your heart. These are the expressions the Bible uses. When we seek with all our hearts, when there's an earnestness about us, a seriousness about us, a sincerity in prayer about us, a persevering about us, birthed from a deep hunger to see the move of God, and we are serious about it, then God is going to do something among us. It says it is time to seek the Lord. Number five, till he comes. Till he comes. The word till speaks of persistence. Watch this. Many prayers are granted by God, but given up by the ones who are praying. Why? Because they stop praying before the answer came. One of the things you learn about prayer is that in prayer, you need persistence. Now, we are not persisting because God is saying no. We're not persisting because God is withholding anything from us. No. But when you read in Daniel chapter 10, it gives you a good picture of what happens in the spirit world when we pray. Daniel had set himself up to seek the face of the Lord. And for 21 days, he prayed, and there seemed to be no answer. And finally, the Bible tells us that God sent an angel to come and bring an answer to Daniel. And the angel says to Daniel, Daniel, from the first day you set your heart to seek the Lord, your prayer was heard on high. But the angel that God sent was forbidden, or it was hindered by the prince of Persia, stopped from bringing the answer, and God had to send the angel Michael to come and assist. And the angel says, I have come because of your words. In other words, Daniel, the reason I came is because you persisted in prayer. Had you stopped praying, I wouldn't have come, but I have come because of your words. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the power of God will be revealed, and the power of God will come because of your words, because of your persistence. Many people don't understand that we need to have that dynamic of prayer, and most of the prayers remain unanswered. In Luke chapter 18, the Bible talks about the parable that Jesus taught. And it starts by saying, and Jesus taught this prayer that men ought always to pray and faint not. Very often, people pray, but they faint and they get tired. People pray, but they give up on the prayer. I remember a few years ago, I had a preacher who was sharing his testimony, how he had prayed for a particular thing in his life, and it seemed that there was no answer at all. And he says, you know, I got so discouraged, and I was just on the verge of giving up. And he said, one day as I was praying, the Lord started talking to me about my attitude. And God took me to task for wanting to give up. And I said, but Lord, you know, I've been praying for a long time, nothing is happening. And God said, well, from your perspective, it looks like nothing is happening. But that's not what it is in the heavenlies. That's not what it is in the heavenlies. In the heavenlies, something is happening. In the heavenlies, from the first day you prayed, I sent an answer. And the man said, but God, you know, Satan has been attacking me left, right, and center and everything. And now the attack seems to be high up there. And God said, son, let me tell you something. When the greatest pressure comes on you to give up, that's a good indication that Satan has fired his last and his best shot at you. And if you just hold on, just one more day, your answer is just around the corner. So many people give up on their praying. They don't have persistence. They give up just on the verge. You've been praying for a family member to know Christ. You've been praying for a colleague to know Christ. You've been praying for a particular situation, and it looks like it's taking long. This verse says it is time for us to seek the Lord until we need to have persistence. It says, until he comes. Number six, he comes. In other words, as we persist, God comes. Watch this. When we pray, we will experience the dynamic presence of Christ in prayer. There's power in prayer that comes by the empowering of the Spirit within us. And as we continue praying, He comes. Now watch. He comes by empowering you and I, not only to pray, but for our prayers to be productive. God comes. God always waits for your move and my move. He comes. Just like He came in the time of Daniel. Just like God showed up in the time of Nehemiah. Just like God showed up in the time of Moses. Just like God showed up throughout the history of the Bible. God always shows up when He comes. He comes and He brings about that which we are wishing for. He brings about that which we are asking for. Note, it says, till He comes, and number seven, and finally, and rains righteousness on us. And I like the way it says. It says, God rains righteousness on us. Now, rain in the Bible is a symbol of God's favor, God's blessings, God's strength, prosperity, and it's a sign of the flow of the Holy Spirit. Now note, when we pray, He comes and rains righteousness on us. This kind of prayer releases the rain of God. Secondly, it allows us to receive the rain of God. In other words, you who waters get watered as well. You who prays, the power of God comes upon you and upon those that you are praying for. It's very interesting. When God brings rain, we read in the book of Joel and we read in other translations, where, like Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1, it talks about how God will bring bright clouds and He will give you showers of rain. Watch. When God brings rain, it comes in the form of showers. And I'm sure you here, you understand rain. Because I'm told that here you only have one season, that is summertime. And your summertime is divided into rain, summer rain, and more rain, and more rain, and much rain. It's just rain all the time. Now, here's what I like about rain. When rain comes down in showers, watch this. When it comes down in showers, it's not like when it comes down in drops. So when we pray, and when God begins to rain righteousness on us, it comes in showers. When showers come, everything gets wet. When showers come, they cover everything. Have you ever walked around and you went to town and you decided it's not going to rain that day? For some reason, you felt, I'm not going to take my umbrella or my raincoat because it's not going to rain. And then when the rain came, it didn't come in droplets. It came in showers. How many of you realized your hair didn't escape? Nothing of you escaped. Everything got wet. Now, here's the good thing. When God begins to bring the showers of rain, which is the move of the Holy Spirit, not only is just a few people who get affected by that rain, but everything gets affected by the rain. The church gets affected by the rain. The home gets affected by the rain. The family gets affected by the rain. The school gets affected by the rain. The city gets affected by the rain. The country gets affected by the rain because it is showers of rain that comes down. Rain comes in showers, even if it comes in many drops. But these drops touch every part of our life. And rain symbolizes a blessing. A blessing is the supernatural endowment of the power of God that comes down upon our lives. As we pray, as we seek the Lord, as we expect God and we come with expectancy, as we pray persistently, as we break up our fallow grounds, God promises, I'm going to come and rain righteousness on you. And the rain of God comes in direct response to our prayer. If we didn't pray, the rain wouldn't come. You know, when rain comes, there's a number of factors that must go into motion, right? Particularly if it's what we call convectional rain. You need the water to evaporate up into the sky. And as it gets up into the sky, it needs to get high enough in the sky where it gets cool air so that that vapor condenses. And you need enough vapor that goes out so that enough condensation happens. And when more condensation happens, the clouds get heavy and it begins to rain. You and I, as we keep on sending up the vapor of our prayers more and more, pray persistently, pray consistently, pray in unity, keep on seeking the Lord. The vapor of our prayers goes up and condensation happens and the showers of rain comes down upon our lives. And God begins to change lives. He begins to change our churches, begins to change our cities. But that change would never happen if we didn't initiate the prayer. So you and I, we are here tonight because we believe in the power of prayer. We believe that prayer changes things. We believe that God sends down the rain of heaven when we pray. We believe that it's all up to us to pray persistently, to pray and initiate the high time, the time for God to launch his spiritual rocket so that the power of God should come upon our lives. And I believe as we pray and as we continue praying, we're going to see more and more change, not only in our churches, but in our countries, in our cities. We'll see more people coming to know Christ as Savior and Lord. We'll see other people coming into a spiritual awareness. We will see our nations coming to know Christ even more. Why? Because there's a people who decided they were going to get together and they were going to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor Stephen is going to help us. Or Pastor Peter is going to come and lead us in prayer tonight.
Praise God. Father, we just look to you and we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We have every confidence tonight to come together in prayer. And that's the reason why we are gathered here this evening. And Father, each time as we come on a Friday night, we know we can come before your very throne of grace. Nothing can stand in the way because of the finished work on the cross of Calvary. And tonight, once again, Lord, we lay a hold, O Father, of the precious work on Calvary. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we call upon the Lord's cleansing to come upon each and every one, so that we will be vessels and instruments prepared to come before your throne of grace. Father, right now, even let that cleansing flow come upon each and every one. Oh, handaraba shandaraba kabariyandai. Oh, rabaka shandaraba kabariyandalaba shandaraba kabariyandai. Oh, your precious word, oh Lord. That precious blood that washes white as snow. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hikaraba kabarianda la daba shanda raba kabarianda. Uraba kasanda raba kabarianda la daba shanda. Hikaraba raba kabarianda. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. It's time to seek you, O God. Oh, that earnestness, the desire you will honor. Glory to your name, glory to your name, glory to your name. Praise God, praise God, praise the Lord.